Handle on the News.
Handle on the News!
Law enforcement has definitely made their visibility and made people chill out and not be as crazy. The cops are doing their job as long as they don't be mean to people who are actually being innocent. Then I'm all gravy, baby.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
All right, it's Monday, November 23rd, Thanksgiving week. Come Thursday, I sure as hell won't be here, Wayne will not. None of us will, because
Will you still
doing that Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Jen will be doing the news.
Oh, God. You know, you're high enough up on the food chain where you can say no. You know that, don't you?
Well, I decided I wanted to take a bigger chunk around Christmas, so I'm going to eat my sandwich here and then I'll be away for Christmas.
Yeah, that's what you Jews do. I know. What you Christians do is this Christmas thing. Us Jews don't do that.
Yeah.
Or we Jews don't do that.
So, yeah, I'm going to just wander off for a few days.
Okay. Fair enough. I walk around tearing down Christmas decorations. Such
That's
a
why you can't come over.
That is correct. Okay. Hello. Good morning, Jen.
Hi. Good morning.
And Wayne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Incidentally, Thanksgiving Day, and we've been doing this for, God, I don't know, 15 years maybe. It'll be Neil Saavedra, who is in Thanksgiving morning, and he gives advice. And people, it really is a show that's so valuable. People coming in, what do I do? First, you defrost the turkey, but I'm going to have dinner in 2 hours, turkey popsicles. Just put it on a steak and everybody comes and licks the turkey.
Honestly, that's why I kind of love Thanksgiving morning. It's good on one hand. I usually leave here with tips, but it's freaking funny.
Oh, people are
the
crazy.
That people call it.
People
with.
Are crazy. I mean, there's some good stuff. You know, how long do I cook a casserole? I've only got a couple of hours. What do I do? The stores are closed. And so Neil is really good about putting stuff together, and ideas are terrific that he comes up with. And crazy people call. So it's Thanksgiving morning. Neil goes from, 6 to 10? The entire,
The
entire show. All right. Alex is back. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, sir.
I was having a nice conversation with Alex, didn't even know she was gone, and she said, didn't think about you once, Bill. Hey, that's, our relationship has solidified. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
All right, that's it. The whole A-team is here, and we've got a fair amount to cover today. Some COVID news, and it's all pretty good, actually, even though there were more deaths and hospitalizations. Those have actually gone down for a few days. I mean, they're going to get worse, but another vaccine, yet one more, which is pretty good news. So you guys ready to do it? Handle on the News, Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne, and me. Lead story. Well, starting day after tomorrow, outdoor dining is done in L.A. County. Can't even eat outside. So now it's only takeaway. It's food delivery. And it is delivery at curbside. And I think that's it. You're done. Restaurants, breweries, wineries, bars, that drive-through, and can you do a drive-through drink? I don't think so.
Drive-through alcohol.
Yeah, like you
drink?
Want a margarita and you go past a bar.
You know what? Actually, I think that you can, only if they do something like they give it to you, they tape down the lid. In other words, they're trying to make it so you're taking it home. But I don't know if you have to like put it in the back seat so that you can't get it.
Next to your ammunition in the trunk?
Well, not necessarily, but you know what I mean. There might be rules on actually where you have to put it in your car.
Yeah.
Generally, if the place is making the cocktail and putting it in some kind of bottle, those are considered open containers.
So you would have to put them in the back?
You'd have to put them in the trunk.
Yep. All right. Lots of people apparently are still going to head to grandma's house. Even though the CDC says, please don't travel. LAX already had lines. I know SFO said it had lines already forming. Last year, you had 3.2 million people traveling through LAX. LAX currently is averaging 836 flights a day. That's about half the flights it had last time or last year, I should say. But does that mean that you'll have half the passengers? Will it still be at full capacity? I guess we'll see.
I've been talking to or hearing the experts, the public health experts, telling us that on the airplane, you're safe or reasonably safe. And that's not a huge risk on the plane itself because of the super duper HEPA blasto filters that do such a good job. It's getting up, getting on the airplane, and the lines to get checked in, your luggage, standing, you know, those the lines that go through the stanchions, and you can't separate. Can you imagine you have 200 people on an airplane or 220 people, and then people are also checking in for the next several flights, and so you see hundreds of people jammed. Can you imagine 6 feet of separation in order to keep it safe? The mile would be two miles long, would be out and circling the airport. That's the danger. And so you take your life in your own hands. And then Southwest, which is, you know, the airline that I fly on 90% of the time, it's, I think, effective December 1. There's no longer middle seat open. That's just what you need, is next to someone who is hawking and, you know, gurgling and spewing loogies.
Wow. You sit next to some interesting people.
Yeah.
Protest at the pier. We're not gonna take it. Saturday night, Huntington Beach. Several dozen people gathered in front of the pier. This was promoted all over the place. The organizers of this protest, it was a basically let's break the curfew on purpose protest. And it started right at 10 o'clock. And the cops say, no citations issued. There were no problems other than the fact that they were all there in violation of the curfew.
Yeah, and very few masks on top of that.
Some, but not a lot.
Yeah, no one's going to take our rights away. We are Americans. I wonder if they feel the same way about clothes when someone walks down the street naked. No one's going to take my right away to walk down the street with no clothes on. I'm an American. Why not? What difference does it make? I don't know.
Depends on who it is.
Yeah, that's
right,
true. Yeah, there's there's certain people who go, no. That you should be arrested instantly for that.
Oh, the governor and his family are in quarantine after an exposure to the COVID. Now, it's not because they got it when they went to the restaurant, to the French Laundry, that they were exposed to somebody there. It's because they say their kids came in contact with a CHP officer who does security for them. They came in contact with him. He apparently does have COVID-19. They have all tested negative up to this point. But because they want to make sure that they abide by, you know, health rules and guidelines, they're going to go ahead and quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
Does the French Laundry deliver to their house?
I don't think the French Laundry does takeout.
They're not on Grubhub? Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you'd have a hard time with that. Let's take a break. And we'll come back. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, let's check in with Jennifer. What a man gotta do. What a man gotta do. It is a Monday morning, November 23rd, Thanksgiving week. Bill Handel here, morning crew. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We continue with more Handel on the news. Jennifer Wayne and me.
A third vaccine candidate showing promise.
Oh, it's more than showing promise. Come on.
Well, I'm compared to the first two, it's not quite as amazingly successful. It's still really good, though. AstraZeneca and Oxford University's candidate is up to 90% effective. What's interesting about this one is they tried two different protocols. A dose and then another dose a month later, that was 62% effective. The other protocol was half a dose and then a full dose a month later, and that was 90% effective.
Yeah, go figure. I mean, so weird, but here's the tremendous news is now there are three vaccines that are guaranteed that they're going to be given FDA emergency authorization. I can't imagine they wouldn't. And even though one is more effective than the other in terms of storage, in terms of distribution. And I'll go into that a little bit later. As a matter of fact, it will be at, what time? Yeah, sometime.
7:30.
That works. Thank you. And, you know, we'll go through it, and all three are going to be used. And I'll go into why and how. It's all the way from the Pfizer, which has to be refrigerated at super low temperatures, although they figured out a way to keep super low temperatures going without equipment. And it's pizza boxes. And I'm not kidding. I'll explain. Pizza boxes. I'll tell you how that one works at 7:30.
All right. Put December 12th on your calendar. Until there's a vaccine. Because the head of the U.S. effort to come up with a vaccine says the first immunizations could happen December 12th. And here's his math. There's an FDA committee that's set up for December 10th to talk about Pfizer's request for the emergency use authorization of its COVID-19 vaccine. And so they're saying that this particular expert, Dr. Moncef Slaoui, of the Operation Warp Speed, says he expects vaccinations could begin on the second day after approval, December 12th.
All right. And so they're going really massively ahead with this. And first responders are going to get it first. And even then, there is going to be a question as to who gets it first among the first responders. And I think Dr. Slaoui talked about 20 million doses should be ready in the first month, probably the first 30 days. Is that what he said? So they're ramping up. They're ready to go, which is brilliant. All these companies have ramped up as if they're going to get approval. So day one, they're ready to ship.
And it's not just vaccines. The FDA just gave emergency use authorization for another antibody treatment. This is the one by Regeneron. It's the one that President Trump got when he went to Walter Reed. And the FDA now says it can be used in adults and children 12 and over, as long as you weigh at least 88 pounds and are at high risk of severe illness from COVID-19.
All right, but it helps. Actually, it was moderate, wasn't it?
This is for the emergency use authorization. You have to have high risk.
Okay.
This is rough. They called it a strained legal argument without merit and speculative accusations unsupported by evidence. That's the way a judge described the president's bid to try and stop Pennsylvania from certifying its vote. And they were looking at a lot of the votes that came in after Election Day. Those are the ones that specifically they had said could come in those 3 days, or they were going to count them 3 days after the Election Day. It was those specifically, but you look at the numbers and it doesn't even matter, even if those were to be tossed out. Joe Biden still has a lead there of more than 80,000 votes.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, they're appealing that right now. They filed their appeal this morning, the Trump administration, to overturn the judge's decision. And at 8:20, I'm going to go into and explain literally what a bunch of buffoons those lawyers were that went forward with these arguments and what their arguments were. Oh, Sidney Powell, crazy woman, who was up there with Rudy Giuliani with these fantastical theories of Hugo Chavez and 8 years ago and setting it all up to disrupt the election. And she's been tossed. She's no longer on the team. She was too crazy even for them. And I'm going to go into what happened, what the arguments were. Rudy Giuliani did not know literally what we learned in law school the first week in constitutional law. I'm talking about first year, first week of constitutional law. He had no idea. Fantastic. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue on with more Handle on the News. In the meantime, let's check in with Jennifer Jones. I do my hair tall,
check my nails. Baby, good morning, Bill Handle. It is a Monday morning, November 23rd, Thanksgiving week.
And a lot still to cover. Oh, quick reminder, KFI's Pasta-thon is going on right now. It's back, our 10th year of raising funds and pasta and sauce for Katarina's Club, Chef Bruno's charity, now feeding 25,000 meals every week. And this year, as you can imagine, the need is even greater. So a few things you can do. Donate right now at pastathon.com. Go to any Smart and Final store, donate $10 at checkout, and your donation will provide 14 meals. I did that a few days ago. And that's up the Instagram at Bill Handel Show. You can drop pasta and sauce donations at the Anaheim White House itself through December 4th, every day, 8 to 3, except Thanksgiving. Don't even have to leave your car. Boom, they'll pick it up. And then coming on December 1 to the 4th, some exclusive live streaming events, and that's going to be fun during the course of the show. Also, I'm celebrating pasta by eating pasta. And a lot of it, and there's some Instagram stuff up. Wayne, you put it up, right?
Yes.
Okay. At Bill Handel Show.
I wouldn't describe what you're doing. Well, you are eating pasta, technically.
Have you seen it yet, Jen?
No. What okay. am I missing?
Oh, you're missing a lot. At Bill Handel Show. Yeah. Another Handel Instagram. Hey, what can I tell you? It's serious stuff when I do Instagram. Have you noticed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's more. Okay, that's right now. I have a couple of them, three of them, I think, up for Pasta-thon. All right, guys, let's do it. More Handle on the News, Jennifer, Wayne, and me.
And today's the day that, or actually tomorrow, excuse me, President-elect Joe Biden's going to start naming cabinet picks.
Are you ready for a cabinet meeting, huh?
First up, basically everybody agrees this is happening. He's going to name Antony Blinken as Secretary of State, a guy who was the second in command over there under the Obama administration.
Yeah, I always thought it was going to be a Rudolph instead of Blinken, but I guess not. Hey, go figure. Later on, 8 o'clock, I'm going to go through the contenders, names that you recognize who are up for major posts in the Biden administration. I could have been a contender. We're going to go through those.
L.A. has hit 300 murders for the first time in a decade this year. Now, to be fair to L.A., we're seeing the same spike in big cities across the country. And but just this weekend, we had murders of a 17-year-old boy riding his bike, a 50-year-old homeless man, 20-year-old man who was killed, and a 41-year-old woman. And a lot of these were drive-by shootings this weekend.
Yeah.
And I heard actually Chief Moore talking about this increase, and he said he needs help from the community. He said that's one thing that they've run into is they're not getting the community help. So when they go and they say, okay, we need witnesses who shot this guy, people aren't coming forward. But secondly, he said people staying home, he's noticed a rise just because of COVID. So people are home, they get frustrated, now they're out, they've got nothing else to do, fights pop up, things like that.
Remember we talked about domestic violence going through the roof and it didn't?
Yeah.
For some reason, although it's certainly panning out in the kind of frustration you're talking about in violence in general, and in this case, shootings. But it used to be back in the 90s, if you remember early 90s, it was 1,000 a year. And Chicago, wasn't it a couple of thousand a year? I mean, just 15 people a weekend were killed in Chicago or more. So it's coming back, although I think it's going to turn around again when the virus is beat. That's my guess. We hope.
Chicago, just this weekend, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was just about to do a story on it. Chicago Sun-Times says 50 people were shot since Friday night and that at least 5 of them are dead.
Yeah, great.
Well, some of those people will end up in state prison where they can have video visits now. Department of Corrections rolling out video visits at 5 prisons in California. If you're a family member who wants to visit this way, it's up to you to have the equipment and the internet access. They're not going to, you know, the system's not going to go to somebody's house and give them a laptop communicate with their incarcerated loved one.
They already have all those great protective barriers. You know, when you're talking to someone in prison, you know, you pick up the phone and et cetera. Actually, it's probably one of the safest way to talk when they sanitize the room, the phone, you're sanitized.
Yeah, but they haven't been doing in-person visits.
All right, they arrested a 15-year-old in Wisconsin for a shooting at a mall over the weekend.
Don't take your guns to town.
Although they say that they did recover a firearm during the arrest, although they're not clarifying the teenager's role in the actual shooting itself. But there were a couple of groups that apparently got into some sort of a fight, and then there was a shooting. They say innocent bystanders, at least four of them, had non-life-threatening injuries, and that the suspect ran out of the mall alongside all these other people, but they have only arrested one so far in this case.
And then the argument's going to be 15-year-olds tried as adults, how it simply isn't going to happen. So he'll be tried as a juvenile, be put in juvenile detention, because now of the politics of what's going on, juvenile detention is more rehabilitative. It's more camp than anything else, a lockdown camp. And so, and the good news here is nobody died.
Would it have made a difference where he went, or would he, if he had been tried as an adult, if someone had died?
I don't know. It's up to the prosecutor calls that, whether to be tried as an adult or not. And I'm a big fan of trying teenagers as adults. If they understand what they're doing, if they have full cognition. Now, if you got a kid who is 8-10 years old, what are you going to do? Well, if I was prosecutor, I'd charge him as an adult. I think my bar is 6 years old.
Oh.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, let's take a break at this point, huh? What do you think? Jennifer? And here we are, Bill Handel and the Morning Crew. It is a Monday, November 23, the 3rd. It's Thanksgiving week. I always love Thanksgiving week. All right, guys, ready to go back to more? Actually, we finished Handle on the News. Jennifer Jones, Lee, Wayne, and me.
Kyle Rittenhouse, a teenager suspected shooter accused of killing two people during protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, is out on bail finally after some help from some kind of high-profile people. One of Rittenhouse's attorneys thanked actor Ricky Schroeder for contributing to his bail, and the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, also.
So the kid's out on bail.
$2 million bail, he made it.
$2 million bail, is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah, came home, and in honor of Lindell, immediately had a pillow fight with his family. It was very impressive.
And ate his bowl of cereal with a silver spoon.
There you go. Well said. And I'm surprised Lindell didn't just write a check for the whole amount. He's got that kind of money. I'm assuming he does, you know, with the amount of money that he's spending on marketing.
Well, there's a guy whose name you might not know. His name is Pat Quinn, and he recently died. But you will know what he is famous for. He is famous for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and he himself was suffering from ALS. And he died over the weekend, and it was a month after his 30th birthday, he found out that he had ALS. And he and his friends started a couple of groups online, and their online presence and connections led to the creation of the Ice Bucket Challenge in 2014, and it raised $220 million for ALS research.
Yeah, that is an astounding amount of money. Yep. All right, because when you talk about, ALS is prevalent enough that it's, you can raise some money for it. But the government just doesn't pile that much money into it. A lot of it is grant money. A lot of it is private research money. A lot of it is fundraisers like this. And in many cases, it's all private fundraising. So great news there.
Great news for the guy who had a sealed first edition deck of Pokemon cards. They sold at auction for $360,000.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. That's way up. The last time that there was a similar sealed first edition deck of Pokemon cards, it sold for $198,000.
Yeah, you wonder about this. There's a kid I knew in junior high who a fanatic comic book collector. And the first six X-Men that came out, he put them in plastic, didn't touch them, mint condition, sold them, and it put him through pharmacy school.
Wow. Wow.
Well, but look at this, $200,000 for a little packet of...
$360,000.
Or $360,000, and then you have the Holy Grail of baseball cards, the Honus Wagner card, what, $2.5-3 million?
Yeah.
Or the first Superman comic? I think it was 1936, if I'm not mistaken. We should look that up, if I have that right. Let's just move on.
All right. Now, not only can we track criminals with AI, but we can track bears. No bear music? No Yogi and Boo Boo music? All right, so here's the deal. They now can track bears, which they say is a much better way of being able to actually track them using this AI intelligence. And so what is kind of cool is they're not going to have to necessarily trap them and pierce them and all that kind of stuff. They might just be able to use the AI, but it's not just for humans anymore. Ah, there's the music. All right. But also, are bears going to get upset over this?
No.
Are we going to see a protest from the bears?
No. Now, the moose story is even better.
Well, we end with a dire warning. Officials in Jasper, Canada have signs up now asking motorists who go into Jasper National Park, please don't let the moose lick your cars.
Hurry, Bullwinkle. The show's about to start.
Oh, I'm coming.
You know, the reason they lick the cars is because of the salt on the cars. Moose love salt. They normally get it. There's plenty of salt in the lakes in the park. It's not like they have a problem getting salt. But hey, if you can lick it from a car and that's right closer to where the lake is, you're going to do it. And the problem is, then the moose become accustomed to being around people and their cars, and then it gets dangerous for both, for the humans in the cars and the moose.
Yeah, you zipping down the road and you hit a moose, that is one hell of an accident. You're hitting a brick wall. Those are huge, those mooses. Is it mice? I've always wondered about the plural of moose. And as I was reading the story, they're so tall, the car takes out the legs and the moose goes through the windshield.
Yeah.
So they're very, very dangerous. So no moose licking of the cars. And you're also told you don't lick the moose because that could also be very dangerous.
Fair is fair.
That's right.